Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with www.learnvisualstudio.net, where I teach beginners the skills they need to get their first software development job building Windows and web apps at the world's best companies as quickly as possible. So in this lesson, things start to get a little bit more interesting. First off, I'm going to demonstrate how to accept input from a Windows console application. Then based on the user's input, we're going to write some logic to execute different blocks of code. And I'll demonstrate two different ways in Visual Basic to accomplish this. But let's get started by creating a new project. I'm going to show you a different way to do this. We'll go File, New Project. And from the New Project dialog, I want to make sure to select the Visual Basic console application. We'll call this Decisions and click OK. And now I'm going to type in the following code, so make sure you follow along. Go ahead and move that, and I'll auto-hide that as well so you can see everything. Great. All right, so the key to this example is in line number 7, user value equals console.readline. So previously we've used console.readline to stop the execution of the Windows console application so we can actually see what gets the results before they flash on screen and then go away as the program executes throughout the remainder of the program and the console window is no longer visible. However, you can see that in line number 7. This time, we're using this line of code so that we can retrieve the value that a user types into the console window. And then next in line number 8, we're merely concatenating or appending a literal string, you typed, colon, to whatever value that the user actually typed in and that we've retrieved in line number 7. So let's go ahead and start debugging the application to see it in action. It says type something and press enter. Well, as a literalist, I will type something and then press the enter key on my keyboard, and it said you typed something, all right? So we're gonna use this technique to add logic to our application. Now that we know we can retrieve a value from a user, we're going to now evaluate that and then branch. Either this code will execute or that code will execute depending on whatever the user types in. And we'll do this in stages, so this might take a little bit of time to kind of see through, but I'm gonna select everything first of all, and I'm going to select the comment out the selected lines, and we'll start over below it. And so here, follow along as we create the second example. And there we go, okay? So first of all, take a moment to just look at what I've typed out here, or what you've typed out here, hopefully. Again, pause the video, rewind if necessary, but make sure that you're typing in these code examples too. And guess what's going on here and what you would expect to happen. So what does this code do? Well, whenever a user types in a value at the command prompt and presses the enter key, then we're going to evaluate whatever the user typed in. If the user typed in the alphanumeric character 1, then we're going to display a literal string using console.writeLine, you won a new car. So The most important lesson for our purposes in this example is the syntax of the if-then statement. It's called a decision statement because, based on the condition that we set up, if it's true, if it is indeed true that user value is equal to 1, then we want to actually execute the block of code that's immediately below that condition. So in line number, looks like number 13, the statement begins with the keyword if. Next is the condition that'll be evaluated. User value equals 1. So we're evaluating the string username, or user value rather, that was retrieved from the console.read line. If that value is 1, then the next line of code will be executed, which calls that console.write line then in line number 14. So this is another reason why Visual Basic is beginner friendly. It reads like an English sentence. If user value is 1, then do this, all right? At least it's a little bit more user-friendly or a little reads like English more so than other programming languages like C# or JavaScript. So the equal sign plays two roles in Visual Basic. We've already seen how we were able to do an assignment. For example, take a look in line number 12. Dim user value as string equals console.write read line. So we are setting user value equal to whatever the user types in. We've seen it used previously where we set dim x as integer equals 7 or something along those lines, where we were setting the value of x to a value, so assignment. But here we're using it in a different context or in a different way. The second way that we use it is to determine equality. We're asking for an answer, true or false, user value is equal to 1. Is that true? If so, then perform this code block immediately under it in lines number 14 and 15, all right? Now, if that expression evaluates to false, what do you suppose will happen? Well, then the code block beneath the if statement is ignored, and what else comes after that? Well, really nothing. We would expect the application to just exit out. So we'll start the application. What do you prefer? Would you prefer what's behind door 1, 2, or 3? So this first time I'm just going to type in something and the application automatically exits. Why is that? Because if this condition is not true, there's no other code that would stop it like we would expect to see in a read line. That's only in that scenario where we typed in the number 1. So let's go ahead and start the application again. This time we'll hit 1 on our keyboard and hit enter. You want a new car. Program's paused. We hit enter again on our keyboard to continue executing, and then the console window goes away. All right. So the problem here is that we've only handled one possible outcome. If we don't enter that code block, then the application is free to exit by moving outside of the main method's code block. So let's expand our application, and in doing so, we're going to learn a little bit more about the if statement. So we want to revisit the main procedures code, and we want to make sure it matches what I'm going to type here on screen. So, all right, so there's a few items to take note of here. First of all, in lines number 16 and 19, you can see I use this else if statement, and it allows us to evaluate additional conditions. So while we could simply use individual if statements, we do an if, and if, and if, and if. This keeps everything kind of together and makes it obvious that we're still evaluating the same types of conditions, okay? So in line number 22, you can see I finally use the else statement by itself. If no other conditions are satisfied, then execute this block of code, what's below the else statement before the end if. So when you start the application this time and you enter a value other than the number one, you should see a new message. For example, whenever we type the number two, you want a new boat. Let's run it again. Type in door number three. You want a new cat. Okay. And then let's finally do the number four. And then it said, sorry, we didn't understand your response. You lose. Okay. Great. Let's go ahead and exit out of that. All right. So I'm looking at this code, and something comes to mind here. Now, often, developers want to write concise code. So this often improves the readability when it's concise and when there's less code to actually look at by removing extraneous characters that would draw our attention to them or at least detract our attention from the things that are important. Also, developers have learned that if they find themselves writing the same code more than once, it might be a good idea to take a closer look at your code and see how you can refactor the code. So refactoring, that term, is kind of unique to software development. It's an advanced topic. Entire books have been written about it. It's about improving the quality of your code by applying some rules designed to improve its quality, one of which is to never repeat yourself, all right? And so this is a little bit of a, I guess I'm taking it to an extreme here by suggesting that we're going to be doing this massive refactoring. And however, I just wanted to point out the fact that generally when you're doing the same thing over and over and over, it's better to extract those things that are common and move them to a different part of your code, leaving what's different. All right, so let's do this. We can see that each block of code in our if and else if statements essentially have the same commands. We're console.writelining and we're console.readlining in each of those three situations, and even in the else statement too. We simply need to extract what's common, the console.writeline, the console.readline, and focus on what's different in each of those code blocks in order to make it a little bit more compact, a little more expressive. So let's rewrite this, it'll only take a moment, and make it smaller, more compact, and more expressive. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to introduce a new string variable. So dim message string equal to an empty string to start off with. And then what we're going to do now, let me just make sure that this works before I brag about it. Okay, so look what we did here. In line number 14, I created a variable called message. And the intent is for that variable to be assigned whatever the ultimate messages we want to print to screen. And now, each code block merely sets the value of that message accordingly. So in line number 42, or actually line number 26 here, we are merely printing to screen console.writeline that message, and then we call the console.readline once to pause execution. So making those changes, I've significantly cleaned up my code and made it clearer what the code is trying to accomplish, at least in my opinion. Of course, whenever I change the code, I want to test it to make sure that it's still working the way that I originally intended for it to. In this case, whenever I ran the application immediately after making those changes, it still seemed to work, at least with a brief test that I created. You'll notice that whenever I'm writing software, I write a little code and then I execute it to make sure it works, and then I write a little more code, and then I execute it to make sure that it works, and I do this very often. I strongly recommend that you avoid writing long passages of code before you then test your work. Keep your additions small and tidy and test them before moving on. If you only write a few lines of code before testing, then you're more likely to remember what you just introduced to the application now that a bug has popped up or throws a new exception. Okay, well, I only changed these three lines of code, so it could only be one of these three things, right? So just take a look now at the if, then, else, if, then, else, if, then, else, and if, that structure, okay? And memorize that, including that evaluation operator. And there's other types of evaluations that we can use. We'll learn about them, I think, in the next lesson or the one after that. It's simply too fundamental to constantly be looking up with a cheat sheet or on MSDN. It needs to be as familiar to you as typing any combination of words that make up a sentence in English. You're only going to memorize it if you get your hands dirty and you write your own applications a lot, okay? So before we conclude this lesson, let's take a quick look at one more way to perform this if-then-else type of functionality. This is a shorthand syntax. It's a little bit more limiting, but it's short, okay? So when you just need a simple either or comparison, you can use this conditional if statement, IIF. And it not only works well in those scenarios, but it also kind of fits our write concise code advice. Okay, so what I'm going to do is actually select the entire if statement that we created. And actually, let me grab the right line of message, this if all the way down to the end if, and then the dim message as string. I'm going to comment all of that out using the comment out selected lines button on the keyboard, on the toolbar rather. And so that leaves us with lines 11 and 12 still intact. We're still going to use those. And I'm going to add the following code. Dim message string equals if user value equals 1 car cat. All right, that looks odd, I know. We'll come back to it. So then console.writeline. All right, so here we're going to type in U1A, and then I'm going to do an open angle bracket, an open curly brace, the number 0, and then the closing curly brace. And those braces are found above the square brackets on your keyboard. All right, and I'll put an exclamation mark after that. So I've got this weird sequence of characters here. Just make sure you get that exactly right. With the curly brace, 0, it has to be the number 0, not the letter O, the closing curly brace, and then an exclamation mark. Then after the double quote, I'm going to hit comma, and then I'm going to type in message. All right, and I'll explain what all this does. Let me just run the application, and I'm going to choose door number 1 the first time. You want a new car. Or you want a car, and then I'll run it again. I'm going to type in the number 2, and you want a cat. All right. So this if method, I guess you could say, it creates a condition. Is this user value equals 1 true or false? If it's true, then set message equal to car. But if this is false, then set message equal to cat. Now, the next line of code, I'm going to display that message. I'm going to use this string replacement code, I call it, this merge code of 0, which means the first item, and we could add additional items here if we wanted to, but this merge this item with whatever the value of message is to create a new literal string called U1A car or U1A cat, depending on the value of message. Now, just to mix this up a little bit, you picked, and I'm going to put 1. So I'm going to do the curly brace 1 curly brace. So U1A, whatever, okay? And then after message, I'm going to hit comma, and this time I'm going to type in the actual user value that the user typed in. So now let's run this application, and I'm going to type in number 3 and then click the Enter key on my keyboard. You pick 3, so you want a cat. All right, so you can see that this is zero-based and that these replacement codes, as designated by this open and closing curly brace, they're zero-based, so we're going to replace 0 with the first item, 1 with the second item, and we can continue on with multiple items beyond that as well. Very cool. So this conditional operator, let's see what they call it here. It's a function if. So the if function is a little bit less flexible than that full-blown decision statement with the if, else if, else if, else, end if. However, whenever you need quick, inline, conditional logic, it will shine like it did here, all right? So the key idea from this lesson is how to write logic using two visual basic constructs, the if, then, else if then, so on, and this IIF function. And there are others as well, but I just wanted to keep it simple to start off with. So you use the if-then statement to evaluate conditions, and you add to its utility by adding more else ifs, and then finally an else statement at the very end to account for additional scenarios that you need to handle in your code. You use this conditional if function to facilitate simpler scenarios like we demonstrated, where it's either true or false, and based on that, it should either be this or that, all right? And we talked about formatting strings and using the string replacement syntax. We're gonna expand on this whenever we talk exclusively about strings in an upcoming lesson. Also, with regards to decision statements or conditional logic, there's a third way, and probably more than that, by using the Visual Basic select case statement, and we're going to cover that near the end of this series of videos. So stay tuned for that. You're doing great. Hang in there. I'll see you in the next lesson. Thank you.